welcome to the Sports Doctor. I'm Chris Fox, joined by Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist on Trade Street in Aurora. Check out his blog at chicagonow.com/sports-doctor. Hello, Dr. Weil.
Hey, Chris. It's good to see you. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening. Again, you can go to sportsdoctorradio.com. We have over 3 years of radio shows that are available. Or you can go to the newspaper articles and see so many different articles under the line of the Sports Doctor. Hey, we have a fellow blogger, Chicago Now blogger, a freelance writer, sports columnist also for Red Eye. Gabe Salgado is with us. Gabe, hey.
How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
It's good. Yes, it's a pleasure. Welcome to the Sports Doctor. Why don't you talk a little bit about, Gabe, your background, familiarize some of the listeners into how you landed, where you landed, became such a sports fan and passion with your writing.
Well, you know, I grew up as a kid watching sports. You know, I was introduced to sports at a very young age, and as far back as I can remember, I would definitely have to start with the 85 Bears and just sort of picked up from there. You know, I mean, I always made the effort to watch sports as a kid. And back in the days when the Cubs had pretty much all their games on WGN, you know, I always watched the Cubs games coming home from school, and I'd watch the White Sox games before I'd go to bed. So I never really pledged allegiance to either baseball team. I've always watched both. I have always cheered for both. I know that's sort of taboo, but that's just how it was for me.
That's how it was in New York for me, Gabe. I tell you, I'd be, you know, with the Mets, the Yankees, the Giants, the Jets. So I could understand the psyche when I came here all these years ago to Chicago, where they would put the pressure on you. Did you play any sports yourself in school?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, I played football for a number of years. I also played some basketball, played some baseball, a little bit of volleyball. I was even on the wrestling team in high school for a couple weeks. So, you know, I went to Morton East and Cicero for my first 2 years, and then my next 2 years I ended up graduating from Morton West in Berwyn, so they sent me to both campuses during the course of my high school career. But I, you know, when I was in Morton, I played football for 2 years. I played baseball for a year. Like I said, I was on the wrestling team, I was on the volleyball team, and then also during my high school years, I played in the Park District Basketball League for a couple of years too. So I try to stay active.
Yeah, we'll try not to ask you about your injuries, that type of background here on the Sports Doctor. We'll go light on you. As a freelance writer and with your blogging, with the locker room, et cetera, you know, we had all this excitement, the Blackhawks. You know, it's, again, sometimes you just never know when you're going to have that kind of run with one of the local teams and the Bears starting up. So what's on the agenda? What have you been talking about lately?
Well, I've been writing a lot about the Bears, you know, training camp starting in the next week or so. So there's been a lot to talk about, a lot of position changes with the team, a lot of personnel changes. So that's definitely given me a lot to talk about. I've also been doing a lot of baseball talk with the changes that the Cubs and White Sox are going through. And with both teams, you know, trying to rebuild for the future. The White Sox are just now starting to realize that they're better off rebuilding for the future as opposed to just trying to win it all.
Boy, I tell you, don't you get tired of the rebuilding already? Like with the Cubs, every decent pitcher they had, they're looking to get rid of. Soriano produces, they're going to trade him. He's too old. With the rebuilding, I don't know why they can't do what some of these other teams do and get it done. We're going to see with this Mr. Epstein whether he can get this done, but my patience is running a little thin with these guys. What do you think about that, Gabe?
I think everybody's patience is running thin by this point, but, you know, Theo Epstein, he has a lot of faith in the minor league players coming up through the system, you know, like Javier Baez, Jorge Soler, Albert Almora, now this new guy, Chris Bryant, who they drafted this year and has already reported to the rookie team. You know, the Cubs definitely think that they have.
Yeah, where's our Bryce Harper? Or a Trout, to one of these guys in our.
He's
yeah, Rizzo.
Out there. He's
yeah, they're
coming.
Out there somewhere. A lot of changes, like you said, Gabe, with the Bears. Gosh, new coach. Brian Urlacher's gone. You mentioned before we went on the air, of course, that Walter Payton might have been your fave, but also Brian Urlacher. How'd you like or what'd you think about him stepping away like he did and retiring as a Bear? I thought it was a great move. What'd you think?
I definitely thought so. I know there's a lot of Bears fans who were sad and disappointed, but at the end of the day, his body was starting to give out on him. You know, he was having knee problems the last couple of years, and then he also had back and ankle problems over the years, too. And
he broke his thumb. He had neck surgery. You know, he had a lot of different things. I would have liked to have seen maybe the Bears, and you're listening to the Sports Doctor here on 90.9 FM. WDCB. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, here with Chris Fox, the sports editor of the Lombardian. Speaking with Gabe Salgado, he's the blogger for the Chicago Now, freelance writer, sports writer for Red Eye on some of his multi hats that he's wearing. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more loyalty with the Bears. You would have thought maybe, hey, look, you got 1 year left. You want to play. Let's keep you in the organization. Kind of reminded me of Frank Thomas. We talked about it on the Sports Doctor. Where's the loyalty? What do you think about that?
You know, what it was that the Bears were trying to give Urlacher a contract, what they thought he was worth based upon how much he had left in the tank and based upon, you know, how much damage his body had already taken. And like I said, you know, with the injuries piling up and his age too, you know, he's in his mid-30s. I think there was only so much that Urlacher had left in him. And like I said, you know, at the end of the day, you want to be able to go home healthy and you want to be able to be in one piece after you finish your career, which is something that a lot of players can't say, you know, since they played.
None of them could say it. There's nobody in one piece after an NFL career.
Exactly. And I think that's why ultimately Urlacher decided to walk away, because when he realized he wasn't going to get the money that he was looking for, I think he finally came to the realization that maybe, you know, it is time to hang it up because of everything that he put his body through for so many years.
So what is the biggest question, Gabe, about the 2013 Bears? Is it how will they proceed without Urlacher? Is it the new coach, Mark Trestman? Is it will Jay Cutler stay healthy for a full season, and will he produce in this? This is the last year of his contract, I believe, or all of the above.
I'm going to go ahead and say the offensive line, because your quarterback can't do anything and your offense can't get moving if you don't have any blocks and you don't have any protection. So the Bears, you know, they invested a lot of money in the offensive line during the offseason. They brought in a lot of new guys, and they're definitely going to be auditioning a lot of players. I mean, outside of Jermon Bushrod and Roberto Garza, it's really a toss-up as to who the other starting linemen will be. So I think that'll be the biggest question mark of all, because, you know, if you can't protect your quarterback, you can't do anything.
Yeah, I think that the idea that Cutler's never had protection since he's been here has never had protection. He struggled every time. And just to keep this guy healthy, he's taken quite a beating also. It's going to be a real challenge. There's just so many injuries. It just never ends. And it'll be interesting to see. They should have an exciting, explosive team if they can protect this guy. Hasn't that been the concern, it seems, forever, the offensive line?
Well, you know, the problem is that the Bears had so many interchangeable pieces during Cutler's tenure here, which is why the offensive line wasn't stable. I wouldn't necessarily say it was not having the best talent. It was just always moving guys around and, you know, switching things up all the time. That was part of the problem. I mean, there were some linemen here and there that weren't that good. But other than that, it was mostly the fact that they just kept making too many changes and Cutler couldn't develop the chemistry and the rapport with the guys in front of him. I think that's probably the bigger issue there.
Can I ask you about the Chicago Bulls? I saw you'd written about them. If Derrick Rose is healthy,
he is,
and Lou Aldang is healthy, and Joakim Noah, is the current crop of Bulls good enough to challenge Miami Heat, the Indiana Pacers, and whoever else for an NBA championship?
Well, the way it's looking right now, I think it's too early to tell because, you know, like I said, you want everybody to be healthy, and, you know, that's half of your starting lineup that was out injured last year. Had so many injuries. And then, you know, there's also a lot of question marks on the bench because you're bringing in a lot of new players on the bench. You know, a lot of the guys from last year left because of free agency and the luxury tax and things of that nature. So I think, you know, you probably have to wait a little closer to the season to start evaluating what the Bulls can do now, right now.
You know, Derrick Rose took a lot of flack. I talked on the Sports Doctor very early, Gabe, about don't try to play. If the Bulls made a mistake, it was hemming and hawing and hawing and hemming, and they kept it up in the air, and he might not. And Derrick Rose took a beating from so many fans and so many pundits, but he is ready to go. He feels great. He's talking very, very motivated mentally that he feels great. And, of course, that makes all the difference in the world, and we'll really see what happens. The grueling schedule, whatever sport you want to talk about. Now you got guys in the NBA playing in the summer league, but I think, you know, Joakim Noah, heck, I treated his father, Yannick Noah, in the 80s. He came in to see Bob Guida. He was one of the best athletes we ever saw. I think Joakim was a twinkle in his eye at that time, sometime around. I think it was before he was born. He really, really gutted it out. He's a winner. I think, Chris, absolutely. But this is the question with everybody. Can you stay healthy? In the blog I wrote, Gabe, just last week, I talked about, you know, Derek Jeter. You know, they were criticizing the Yankees. Did they try to rush him? He's had all this time. This was the question going on here all the time. The whole season with Derek Rose, wasn't it? Since the spring. Remember?
You know, definitely. I think what it was is just, you know, Bulls fans wanted him back so badly because they thought that, you know, like a healthy Derek Rose could challenge the Miami Heat. But really, the Bulls, you know, didn't have the most complete team last year. And, you know, that's the concern for this year. You know, will they have that complete team this year? Because the bench mob that got them through, you know, 2010 through 2012, you know, they just weren't around anymore.
Yes.
And
I think Coach T also has to back off in some way, shape, or form with the intensity of playing as many minutes with as many players as he's had. He's had since. He's a great winner. He's a great coach. The only thing I question again is the physicality as far as who's playing so many minutes. It was just a war of attrition with these guys, and I think that's one of the things we need to correct so that we're not dealing with one overuse injury after another. It's just a real challenge. But time to get excited. Derrick Rose made the announcement. He's that 100% feeling great. Chicago should, raise a glass, right?
You know, most definitely. But again, like I said, it's, to me, you know, do they have the complete team? Because there's a lot of new faces on that bench that'll definitely have to prove themselves and definitely have to show that they can help this team win. And that's the bigger concern for the Bulls.
So when we watch these post-game interviews on television, are you one of these guys in the pile that's holding the microphone or the recorder in front of the athlete's face? What's that like?
You know,
from your angle.
From my angle, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of TV cameras and microphones that get in my way a lot of the time. So you got to find a way to squeeze in there because either.
You got to be an athlete, Gabe. You got to be an athlete. You got to be able to maneuver.
Exactly. You know, sometimes I have to use my size to my advantage and just push through because, you know, I don't have a microphone. I don't have a camera. I either have my tablet or I have my audio recorder. And, you know, it's a lot easier said than done, especially when you got 50-pound TV cameras in your way. So it can be a hassle at times, but, you know, you know, as a reporter, you always find a way to make it work. But it
What have you done in some of your freelance stuff? We have a couple of minutes left. What have you done as far as the freelance? Anything a little bit different than sports reporting?
You know, pretty much, you know, just sports stuff. You know, I love sports and, you know, sports journalism is my passion. It's why I got into the business. And, you know, I've had the blessing and privilege of covering a lot of local teams, both pro and college, and I've covered some big events too. And it's just something that I love doing and I'm hoping to turn it into full-time as opposed to just being freelance, just to make it a full-time career someday. And, you know, it's just something that I love doing.
Well, I'm still celebrating Louisville. You know, you cover some college. I'm still celebrating Louisville here with the national championship and the NCAA. How long have you been with your locker room blog and Chicago Now, Gabe?
I started back in September of 2011 and just pretty much, you know, going strong ever since. You know, I try to contribute to that as much as I can. And, it's, you know, I have to give a lot of credit and thanks to Chicago Now because it, you know, it started with them and it just kind of took off from there.
Yeah, Julie DeCaro, Jimmy Greenfield, they do a great job, I think, with Chicago Now, and Julie with her League of Her Own and her Cubs blogs and whatever. There's a lot of dynamite stuff going on. I really want to thank you, Gabe, for joining us. I know you jumped in without too much notice between the movement of the station here or whatever, but why don't you give some information pertaining to the blog per se and how other people can listen in or get a hold of, read some of your stuff if you would.
Well, you just go to ChicagoNow.com, and in the search engine on the website, you can either type my name, Gabe Salgado, or you can type the locker room, and it'll come up. You could also follow me on Twitter at GabeSalgado82. I'm always posting there, and everything that I write, I link to there as well. So, you know, I'm very accessible if you look.
Gabe Salgado 82, that's your Twitter handle?
Yes, sir.
And again, you're at chicagonow.com/locker-room, like Dr. Weil is, chicagonow.com/sports-doctor, among other outlets.
Yes, and say hi to my friend Chris Sosa over at Red Eye. Again, Gabe, thanks so much for joining us, and hopefully we'll be able to have you back as some of these seasons progress. Get some of your insight. We'll try to grab a hold of you once the Bears get back in action. Let's see what's going on. But thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's great to have some of the feedback, Chris, with some of these bloggers and sports bloggers. That was a great question of yours. How do you get into that melee?
Because
with so many people covering so many things into sports, into the locker room, et cetera,
right, and we might see a 10-second clip of the coach or the athlete on the 10 o'clock news, but maybe they'll talk for 3, 4, 5 minutes, and you'll just see a little piece of that.
You know,
but they have to surround that
interesting
guy.
I'm trying to think of the HBO special discussion regarding women in the locker room and that whole challenge. They went back to Reggie Jackson in his tremendous World Series performances, and this one or two gals talking about, they couldn't get in, they had to wait till he came out, he was too tired, that whole thing. Boy, has that changed. Hey, throw the towel on, and in they come with regard to that. I wanted to, again, you're listening to The Sports Doctor here on WDCB 90.9 FM. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, here with Chris Fox, sports editor of The Lombardian. We're just talking to Gabe Salgado, the blogger with Chicago Now, and his locker room blog, as well as some of his other sports-related things. Boy, that time flew by, didn't it, Chris? Really, really quickly. It's interesting. I wanted to ask Chris your opinion because I wrote on the blog about it. And again, you can go to sportsdoctorradio.com, listeners, if you would. Check out some of our previous radio shows. So many different topics. It's great to have a guest back on. It's taken us a good month and a half with the move of the station, get back rolling. So I'm excited about that. But check out some of the previous shows and send me an email, drrweil@sportsdoctor@yahoo.com. I wrote about some feedback, Chris, the baseball All-Star game, the original All-Star game for the pro sports, the tremendous tradition all these years, the Babe Ruths and all of these things, Mickey Mantles, the Willie Mays.
You're going back.
Going back, Henry Aaron. It seemed those years the National League owned them, all those years. And the question was, do you like or do you hate or are you in the middle with this rule? And you'll have to tell me how many years it's been, I don't even know, where the winner of the All-Star game gets home field advantage for that league in the World Series.
I like that the game now has some meaning, but if you are, let's just say, a National League team who winds up winning 102 games this year and you make it to the World Series and the American League
True.
Team has won 95
That's
games.
That's why it's controversial.
And you say, well, you don't have the home field because back in July, an exhibition game
now you could,
ended up with an American League win.
What would you think if they did it alternate years and they said the team that has the best record has the home field every other year and every other year it depends on the All-Star. But it seems to make a difference. The All-Star game, as great as it is, there's always that strategy, someone doesn't pitch a little bit before so you can get a chance to pitch. Like the Chicago lefty who was able to start the game.
Chris Sale, and he got the win. He just pitched a couple innings.
He was good. Boy, he was good. And Mariano Rivera. I haven't seen a tribute like that. I don't remember. I don't remember if Carl Ripken, if anybody got it like that, that incredible respect. This is his last All-Star appearance. I don't know how many he's had. He's been, he's got all those records, closers. He's came back from ACL surgery at 40 years old. The first day he was injured and he knew he was a surgical problem, he said, I will be back. He was able to do it. But the meaning of the game, the winning of the game, which was always kind of tempered by it doesn't really count, I just thought it's an interesting argument either way, with some relevance. I argued for the fact that I enjoyed it because they were really, really playing for something. Everybody on the team represents their league.
They're playing for something, but again, you know, some guys will play for one inning, some will play for three innings. So it is an exhibition game. I do like that there is something on the line. I think it was about a decade ago, the All-Star game was in Milwaukee, and it went to 12 or 13 innings. They were running out of players. They just called it a tie. Remember that?
I remember that.
But the thing I remember was that some of the guys who started the game, the big marquee names, left the scene.
Yes.
And you thought if the star players aren't going to stick around to see who's going to win the game, why should the fans?
Well, again, you know, in the football All-Star game, I think that's a game that they should disregard, that you should cancel because of the physicality of football. It's so difficult to predict. You hate to not have an injury. It's so difficult to play, not to get hurt. And it's a good argument. And the NBA is a showcase. It's a whole weekend. It's a whole big show. It's wonderful. It doesn't seem to matter. So baseball, with all its tradition, maybe makes a difference. But it's a good argument. I wanted to go back to something and from a sports psychology point of view, with some of my colleagues in sports psychology, that's the point they made, Chris. The difference in the psyche of the player, all of them, because they know this is a big deal. This counts.
And I personally, the All-Star, might not make it to the World Series, but you never know. My team might, or at least I want to do some good and help my league.
I really, really want to do that.
It's been since 2003 that the winner of the All-Star game has had the home field.
I would throw another. How long has the designated hitter rule been around?
It's been about 40 years.
You're kidding. I would have flunked that one. You know, I wrote an article again, and we might get a few minutes to talk about it, about specializing versus playing multiple sports. But I wanted to touch on, you know, we talked about Derrick Rose. We touched for a minute. I mentioned Derek Jeter. Again, all the time on the Sports Doctor, we talk about when it's got a lot to do with the, you know, drugs in sports, and there's never an off season. There's always pressure to play. And even when you have multiple millions of dollars in sports medicine expertise behind you, if your name is Derek Jeter, like if your name was Derek Rose, there's questions. There's no direct, exact answers. So here's Derek Jeter, who, one of the greatest who's ever played. You know, fractured his ankle. We mentioned a little bit last week. Has worked from all off season to get ready. As soon as he got ready for spring training, his ankle bothered him again. He works for a few more months. He comes back. The first game aggravates a quadricep muscle. And again, it goes to show you don't know. And the question is, gee, the Yankees were criticized. They rush him back too soon. But he's run the first base 100 times.
It was his first game back, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
More than half the season.
Yes,
he comes back.
This was why I mentioned in the blog, I was so glad to see Derrick Rose did not cave in to the pressure to try to play before he mentally thought he really, really was ready. Even when you do, when you're a veteran, when you have so many answers, you still can choose wrong. So this was, to me, a justification for Derrick Rose, as tough as it was. And we talked about the flack he took doing that. Hey, the British Open, Chris, there's another golf tournament. Right? They never end. It seems like Grand Slam tennis tournaments.
There's the four Grand Slams, the Masters in April, and then you have three in a row, 3 months in a row, June the U.S. Open, July here we have the British Open.
And the reason I want to bring this up also, in the ESPN Naked issue, which is the issue the past few years, very well done, very good taste. You know, like it or not, Naked Athletes. I remember when Evan Lysacek, after he won the gold medal, was pulling his hair out. He shouldn't. He might not. He did it. It was very tastefully done. And
you're going to transition to golf, or what's the tie-in with
golf? The golf is Gary Player, 77 years old. Wow, the shape this guy is in. You know, when he was a fitness fanatic on the golf tour, they thought he was out of his mind. You know, you're going to be too tight. You're too this. You're too that. He changed the whole scope of golf regarding fitness. Him being in there. Now, Ernie Els, one of the elders, he's defending champion.
He is, 43 years old.
What is it about the British, that golf course? You never see another tournament like it ever anywhere in the world where they're in these like bunkers that are, they look like columns where you don't see somebody.
You might see an overhead shot and you'll see no trees where we're used to seeing tournaments here.
Do
where,
you see any
where
green
every fairway
grass there at all?
Is tree lined.
Yes.
A little
whole
bit.
Different kind of course, golf course.
The tournaments here, you're used to seeing players fly the ball to a certain yardage. If they're 158 yards away, they try to hit it 158 yards. Here, I was just watching this morning, they might be 200 yards away. They might hit it 150 yards and have it roll the last 50.
Is there a certain term for those bunkers where you could be walking that and never be found again, let alone getting the ball out? It's crazy.
Well, isn't that the birthplace of golf, though? Scotland?
I think it is.
So that's the original golf in its purest form?
In its purest form. And here you have again... interesting, you know, Tiger Woods, I don't know what he arranged, what the deal was. All I know is the news was he re-signed with Nike, or they upgraded or changed his deal. Remember, he was losing everybody. He had all of that controversy. He's come back a long way, baby. What he needs to do now is win one of the majors.
He's won four or five times.
He's
won four titles this year, but he hasn't won a major in 5 years. He hasn't won the British Open in 7 years. And for all the other wins, they really don't matter. People are still looking at that pursuit of Jack Nicklaus's 18 majors, and Tiger's been stuck at 14.
He's been stuck at 14 for a while.
He had a good day in the first round, though, 2 under. So he's in the mix.
This is what's interesting also, Chris, is we've talked about his, and I am hoping to get back on what I mentioned, the sports psychologist, the psychologist who joined us talking about Tiger Woods when he first started his career, Tracy Scott, is going to join us sometime in the not-too-distant future. We'll get a chance to talk to him. Remember when Tiger Woods was on the front cover of Sports Illustrated and they thought he was going to be everything from Gandhi to Nelson Mandela to Barack Obama and to Jack Nicklaus?
In the first round today, you know, they had 6-9 hours of coverage, and about an hour before Tiger Woods was even set to tee off, at the bottom of the screen, it said, you know, Tiger's tee time, Woods' tee time, and they were counting down like it was a space shuttle launch. I'm sure that drove some... people who don't like Tiger Woods, crazy.
He's the biggest, but he has been in the hunt. Numerous championships, and he has not won. He's been close to being in the lead going into the final round, and he hasn't won. So it's interesting to see mentally and physically. It seems like physically he's turned that corner where he's talked about, you know, I don't have to worry about my knee. I don't have to worry about my Achilles tendon. Now, he had a little bit of a hand-arm-wrist scenario.
Elbow
at
the US
deal.
Open.
And again, we talked so much on the Sports Doctor about compensation. You know, where you're favoring something, something else happens. It's very, very common. They've changed his swing. They've changed, but it seems physically and mentally that he is going into the tournament expecting to win. We'll have to watch and see. You know, these great champions... You know, whether you talk about a Brian Urlacher, whether we mentioned Walter Payton, whether you're talking about the Derrick Roses, you're talking about the Tiger Woods, the Derek Jeters, their mental toughness, the Evan Lysacek's, their mental toughness, we just don't understand that. And it's fascinating to, I think, most of us, whether or not you come back off the floor after taking such a beating, whether you're on the top of the world, like Derrick Rose was, and you don't know what criticism is. And boy, he faced it this year. Whether you are looking, is my career over, Brian Urlacher? He was not happy with the way it went down with him and the Bears. They ended up patching it over in some way, shape, or form. It's a fascinating side of the Sports Doctor, I think, this whole mental side, when we get a chance to really talk about it.
Do you think they're really different than you and me and everyone else?
I think
mentally?
in a lot of ways, I think they have the capacity to do things a lot differently.
I mean, I think we all fail, we all struggle, we all have ups and downs.
I agree.
Maybe they have some concentration at a different level.
I think they have at a different level some ability to, and if you had to put it in parentheses, they can be in the moment. They can forget about the bad shot, the bad situation, the last at bat, the last free throw, and come back and hit the one that counts again. That's what really sets him apart. I'll touch on next week, get an opportunity week after the article involving Specializing. You go to NapierSunLifestyles.com, Aurora Beacon News, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can catch the, go to my website, you'll see it.
sportsdoctorradio.com. Go to sportsdoctorradio.com for previous shows. Send Dr. Weil an email at drweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. That's drweilsportsdoctor@yahoo.com. I'm Chris Fox. Thanks for listening. Please tune in next week to another edition of The Sports Doctor.